Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome, and we're so happy you're listening to the Eastern Airlines radio show, the 140th episode. Now, nearly 3 years now and gaining more popularity with each episode. For our new listeners, we'd like to introduce you to the AAL radio show and host. We also would encourage you to call in and be a part of the program. And our phone number, call-in numbers are area code 213-816-1611, or you can call toll-free at 877-572-1861. Now, we start our broadcast every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on your computer's internet dial. And that is www.ealradioshow.com or at www.blogtalkradio.com/Captain Eddie, CaptainEddie. Now, our hosts for the radio show are from many locations, South Florida, North and Central Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, New York, and on occasion, Martha's Vineyard. Our hosts for tonight's broadcast include myself, Steve Thompson, and I am coming to you from Roaring Gap, North Carolina, where we are forecast to have a touch of winter tomorrow with a light dusting of snow and the low temperatures in the high teens. That's chilly. Now, I would like to introduce you to Chuck Albright. Chuck, how are things among the retirees in America's retirement community of the Villages, Florida?
Well, Steve, we're having balmy weather here, 81 degrees during the day and 61 degrees at night. That's almost freezing here in Florida. I like to tell you that we are the world's largest retirement center. We have 125,000 people here now, and they live in 55,000 homes, and we have over 50 beautiful golf courses. The weather has been really nice this week. Everybody's been out on the course. We've had a couple of parades in our town centers there, and everybody is just having a good time. And we are inundated with about 30,000 snowbirds that come every year. And actually, we're very happy to have them because they put a lot of money into the economy. I guess we'll turn it back over to you, Steve.
Hey, Steve,
well,
I'm here.
Neil.
Yeah.
Neil Holland is our producer and engineer in beautiful Ponte Vedra, Florida, near St. Augustine. Neil, how are things with you?
Well, other than we're having technical problems on our radio show tonight, and I have to call in just like our listeners using the telephone and pressing 1 on the dial, and so I'm, instead of on my studio microphone, which we For some reason, it dropped off the line, and we couldn't connect with our regular studio microphone here. So anyhow, I hope this transmission is coming in loud and clear. How do you hear me, Steve?
Oh, you are 5x5, loud and clear, Neil. This is very, very clear. Sound
okay,
great.
Okay, very good. Well, we hope we get a little cool weather, and I think it's moving our way down to Jacksonville, St. Augustine area, where I live, halfway between, and it's really pleasant here. So back to you, Steve.
That's great. Now, our official Yankee living in New York is George Jan. George, any changes in the Big Apple? Good evening.
Good evening, Steve. Well, first off, I might be a Yankee, but I'm definitely not a Yankees fan. The Mets are my team, always have been, and always will be. Hey, you got to believe, right?
Yeah.
Now, besides having a new New York City mayor-elect, there's supposedly another big change coming tomorrow, as down in North Carolina, in the form of our first light snowfall. But the water temperature's still up in the high 50s, so we'll see.
You still catching those tunas, George?
No, actually, it's been very windy for the past week and a half. I got out a couple of striped bass trips, but nothing with the tuna fish because we have to go about 90 miles offshore to get them, but the fish are still out there. We just haven't been able to get to them.
Well, that's great, George. Thank you for that. And our newest host is Cecile. Cecile, will you tell us where you're from and what you do again?
Was born in Quito, Ecuador, and moved to New York and then been in Florida since about 30 or 40 years. And I'm with RE/MAX Advantage Plus. We sell houses in South Florida. And as a matter of fact, if you need a house in North Florida, Neil can handle that. So we got the whole Florida covered.
Thank you, Sissy.
You're welcome.
And just a little housekeeping before we get into our program. Our listeners can join our host at any time during the broadcast and share your thoughts and memories of Eastern our subject of our show. And again, we'll repeat the phone numbers. Our telephone contact to be live on the air is 213-816-1611 or toll free 877-572-1861. Now, either number will get you to our caller board where you can join the discussion just by pressing 1. Our program tonight is the third broadcast honoring of veterans in as many years. We're especially proud that we can broadcast on the day we honor our veterans, today, Veterans Day. We hope you enjoy the music and words in tonight's show. Liberty Mag has sponsored a contest for a spirited, enduring musical composition to become the official Army Air Corps song. Of 157 songs submitted, the one composed by Robert MacArthur Crawford, 1899 to 1961, was selected by a committee of Air Force wives. The song, informally known as the Air Force Song, but now titled the U.S. Air Force, was officially introduced at the Cleveland Air Races September 2, 1939. Well, fittingly, Crawford sang its first public performance. A bridge section, Toast to the Host, is part of the original Air Force song. Many times this is sung as a separate piece. This is the verse that commemorates those who have fallen in the name of our service in our great country. This is the reason for the difference in melody and reverent, reflective mood. Crawford didn't write "Hey" in the lyrics. He actually wrote "Shout" without specifying the word to be shouted. Also, whenever they appear, the words U.S. Air Force have been changed from the original Army Air Corps. And by the way, the words in parentheses are spoken and not sung. Well, here are the lyrics for the U.S. Air Force song. Off we go into the wild blue yonder, climbing high into the sun. Here they come, zooming to meet our thunder. Atom boys, give them our gun. Down we dive, spouting our flame from under, off with one hell of a roar. We live in fame or go down in flame. Hey, nothing will stop the U.S. Air Force. Now, there are additional versions, and that song is hard to read because you want to sing it. Additional verses are, the minds of men fashioned a crate of thunder, send it high into the blue. Hands of men blasted the world as under. How they lived, God only knew. Souls of men, dreaming of skies to conquer, gave us wings ever to soar. With scouts before and bombers galore, hey, nothing will stop the U.S. Air Force. And here's a bridge, a toast to the host. Here's a toast to the host of those who love the vastness of the sky. To a friend we send a message of his brother, men who fly. We drink to those who gave their all to God. And then down we roar to score the rainbow's pot of gold. A toast to the host of men we boast, the U.S. Air Force. Zoom. Off we go into the wild blue yonder. Keep the wings level and true. If you live to be a gray-haired wonder, keep the nose out of the blue. Flying man guarding the nation's border, we'll be there, followed by more. In echelon we carry on, hey, nothing will stop the U.S. Air Force. George.
Okay, although I'm a former Army Special Forces reservist, the U.S. Marine Corps is the United States military band of brothers that is truly dedicated to fighting wars. The proud brotherhood of Marines is guided by principles, values, virtues, love of country, and its warrior culture. This brotherhood of American patriots has no song. Instead, Marine warriors have a hymn. When the Marines' hymn is played, United States Marines will stand at attention. They silently show their pride in their fellow Marines, their corps, their country, their heritage, and their hymn. The Marines' hymn is a tribute to warriors. Marine warriors stormed Fortress Derna, raised the American flag, and gave us the shores of Tripoli. Marines fought their way into the castles at Chapultepec and gave us the halls of Montezuma. Marines exist for the purpose of war fighting. Fighting is their role in life. They fight for freedom, for right and freedom, and to keep our honor clean. They fight in the air, on the land, and sea. The Marine Corps is Valhalla for warriors. U.S. Marines need no song because they have that hymn. Ironically, no one knows who wrote the hymn, which was in widespread use by the mid-1800s. Colonel A.S. McLemore, United States Marine Corps, spent several years trying to identify the origin of the tune. In 1978, he told the leader of the Marine Band that the tune had been adopted from the comic opera Genevieve de Bavon by Jacques Offenbach. Yet others believe the tune originated from a Spanish folk song. So take your pick. Whatever, regardless of its origin, the Marines hymn has remained a revered icon of the United States Marine Corps for almost 200 years. In 1929, the Marines hymn became the official hymn of the Corps. 13 years later, in November of 1942, the Commandant approved the change in the words for the first verse, fourth line. Because of the increasing use of aircraft in the Corps, the words were changed to in the air, on land, and sea. No other changes have been made since that time. When you have attained absolute perfection, there's no need for further modification. So here are the words in that song, which, you believe me, you do not want me to sing. You would rather have me recite them. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we fight our country's battles in the air, on land, and sea. First to fight for right and freedom and to keep our honor clean, we are proud to claim the title of the United States Marines. Our flags unfurled to every breeze from dawn to setting sun. We have fought in every clime and place where we could take a gun. In the snow of far-off northern lands and in sunny tropic scenes, you will always find us on the job, the United States Marines. Here's health to you and to our Corps, which we are proud to serve. In many a strife, we fought for life and never lost our nerve. If the Army and Navy ever look to heaven's scenes, they will find the streets are guarded by the United States Marines. And just as a bit of a little cocktail discussion here, Winston Churchill, the British Prime Minister, became an ardent admirer of the United States Marine Corps. In the company of guests of state, he often demonstrated his respect for the U.S. Marines by reciting from memory all those three verses of the Marines hymn. Do we have something we could play with that?
I'm calling you on my cell because on my home number.
Yes, we do.
A girlfriend of mine's on the radio, and they're doing.
Let's see if we can get the Marine anthem, just a little bit of it, and play it here. Well, that's the Marine anthem, and the next of our service songs is the Army. The Army Goes Rolling Along, the official song of the United States Army. The song was originally written by Field Artillery First Lieutenant Edmund L. Gruber while stationed in the Philippines in 1908 as a caisson song. The original lyrics reflect routine activities in a horse-drawn field artillery battery. The song was transformed into a march by John Philip Sousa in 1917 and renamed the Field Artillery Song. It was adopted in 1956 as the official song of the Army and retitled The Army Goes Rolling Along. The current lyrics tell the story of our past, our present, and our future. For more on the history of the Army Goes Rolling Along, you might check it out on the Internet. Just type in The Army Goes Rolling Along, and you should find the history of that song. The Army Goes Rolling Along is played at the conclusion of every U.S. Army ceremony, and all soldiers are expected to stand and sing. The song should be performed with a short introduction to permit all to stand, followed by the verse, the chorus, and the refrain. When performed as part of a medley of service songs, the following Department of Defense guidance applies. Not that we have put them in order as they suggest, but the order of performance for service songs that are played in a medley is the Army Goes Rolling Along, the Marine Corps, the Marines Hymn, the Navy, Anchors Away, the Air Force, the official U.S. Air Force song, and the Coast Guard, Semper Paratus. The normal method of performing service songs is in that order. However, certain occasions may call for the order to be reversed, such as in a medley featuring the Army Goes Rolling Along as the finale. This is authorized as long as the relative order of songs is maintained. Only medleys containing the service songs in approved order of precedence will be performed by Army bands. Civilian music organizations are encouraged to follow the same order of preference. When performed as part of a service song medley, the Army song will normally include only the chorus and the refrain. The verse goes like this: march along, sing our song with the Army of the Free. Count the brave, count the true, who have fought to victory. We're the Army and proud of our name. We're the Army and proudly proclaim. And then the chorus goes, first to fight for the right and to build the nation's might. And the Army goes rolling along, proud of all we have done, fighting till the battle's won. And the Army goes rolling along. And then the refrain. Then it's hill high, high, high. Hey, the Army's on its way. Count off the cadence loud and strong. For where we go, you will always know that the Army goes rolling along. Now let's hear a little of that Army song.
The U.S. Navy song history, the word way, in its sense, comes from a word meaning to heave, hoist, or raise. Way means that the action has been completed, the anchor way. It is pulled from the bottom. This event is duly noted in the ship's log. Lieutenant Charles A. Zimmerman, United States Navy, a graduate of the Peabody Conservatory in Baltimore, had been selected as the bandmaster of the Naval Academy Band in 1887 at the age of 26. His father, Charles Z. Zimmerman, had played in the band during the Civil War years. Early in his career, Lieutenant Zimmerman started the practice of composing a march for each graduating class. By 1892, Zimmy, as he was affectionately known to his midshipmen, became so popular that he was presented with a gold medal for the year class. More gold medals followed as Zimmerman rode a march for each succeeding class. In 1906, Lieutenant Zimmerman was approached by midshipman first class Alfred Hart Miles, with a request for a new march. As a member of the class of 1907, Miles and his classmates were eager to have a piece of music that would be inspiring, one with a swing to it, so it could be used as a football marching song and one that would live forever. Supposedly, the two men seated at the Naval Academy Chapel organ, Zimmerman composed the tune and Miles set the title and wrote the first two stanzas in November 1906. This march was played by the band and sung by the brigade at the 1906 Army-Navy football game later that month. And for the first time in several seasons, Navy won. This march, Anchors Away, was subsequently dedicated to the class of 1907 and adopted as the official song of the U.S. Navy. The concluding stanza was written by Midshipman Royal Lovell, class of 1926. The original lyrics, verse 1, "Stand Navy down the field, sail set to sky. We'll never change our course, so Navy you steer shy. Roll up the score, Navy, anchors away. Sail Navy down the field, sink the Army gray." In verse 2, "Get underway, Navy, decks cleared for a fray. We'll hoist true Navy blue, so only Army down your gray. Full speed ahead, Navy, Army heave to. Furl black, gray, and gold, and hoist the Navy blue." Verse 3, "Blue of seven seas, gold of God's great sun, let those our colors be till all the time be done. By seven shores we learn Navy's stern call, faith, courage, service true, with honor over all." The revised lyrics by George D. Lottman, it's verse 2 that is most widely sung. Verse 1, "Stand Navy out to sea, fight our battle cry. We'll never change our course, so vicious foes steer shy. Roll out the TNT, anchors away. Sail on to victory and sink their bones to Davy Jones' hooray." On verse 2, "Anchors away, my boys, anchors away. Farewell to college joy, we sail at break of day. For our last night on shore, drink to the foam. Till we meet once more, here's wishing you a happy voyage home." There's an epilogue to this. In 1916, Lucky Bag, the Academy yearbook, the class prepared a surprise for Lieutenant Zimmerman. On page 1 was an impressive photo of the bandmaster in his full-dress uniform. On the next, a moving tribute to his devotion to the Naval Academy. Unfortunately, Lieutenant Zimmerman did not live to enjoy the tribute. He became ill and died suddenly on Sunday morning, January 16, 1916, of a brain hemorrhage. He was 54 years old. He was given a full military funeral with midshipmen serving as pallbearers. The classes were suspended for the entire regiment so they could attend the burial at St. Mary's Cemetery on January 19, 1916. Later, his body was moved to the Naval Academy Cemetery, where a granite monument, a gift from the class of 1916 and 1917, was erected. And it says, inscripted on the base, "By his midshipman friend." Now we'll hear the music from a naval anthem.
hold on a second. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, Steve. My
That's
my
all right.
Thought.
Semper Paratus. We're always ready for the call. We place our trust in thee. The United States Coast Guard is the world's oldest life-saving service, and Semper Paratus means always ready, is its theme song. The song's original words and music were composed by Captain Francis Saltus Van Boskerik, U.S. Coast Guard. Captain Van Boskerik was commander of the Coast Guard's Bering Sea Forces when he composed Semper Paratus in 1927. Coast Guard lore developed that he composed the tune on a beat-up old piano belonging to Mrs. Albert C. Gross, the wife of an Alaskan fur trader, who owned what at that time was the only piano in the Aleutian Islands. Two public health dentists, Alfred Nanistat and Joseph Fournier of Unalaska Island, also contributed to developing the song's early lyrics. Under President Woodrow Wilson, the Coast Guard was created as a separate military service unit in 1915, and by 1927 they were seeking an anthem. Van Boskerik and his friends entered their material into the long search contest sponsored by the Coast Guard and won. Semper Paratus was first published in 1928 issue of the Coast Guard magazine. Its first commercial publication was in 1938 by Sam Fox Publishing. During World War II, Rudy Valley, a popular singer and radio personality, enlisted and was appointed bandmaster of the Coast Guard band stationed in Long Beach, California, which played wildly across the nation to raise funds for the war effort. In 1943, a second chorus was added to Semper Paratus, and the first chorus was rewritten in 1969. The tune had become recorded by a variety of different groups, including U.S. Coast Guard Band and the River City Brass Band, the Wright Brothers, and the Coast Guard. The work of the U.S. Coast Guard was always included a strong humanitarian emphasis. Orville and Wilbur Wright, as an example, were able to engage members of the Coast Guard to assist in their first historic flight. Years later, Orville Wright told this story. During the night of December 16, 1903, a strong cold wind blew from the north, and when we arose in the morning of the 17th, the bottles of water which had been standing about the camp since recent rains were covered with ice. Then 10 o'clock arrived, and the wind was as brisk as ever. We decided we had better get the machine out and attempt a flight. Well, we hung out and out the signal for the men of the life-saving stations, part of today's Coast Guard. By the time all was ready, J.T. Daniels, W.S. Dot, and A.D. Etheridge, members of the Kill Devil Life Saving Station, W.C. Brinkley of Manteo, and Johnny Moore, a boy from Nag's Head, had arrived. One of the life-saving men snapped a camera for us, taking a picture just as the machine had reached the end of the track and had risen to a height of about 2 feet. The flight lasted only 2 seconds. But nevertheless, it was first in the history of the world in which a machine carrying a man was raised itself by its own power in the air in full flight and sailed forward without reduction.
Thank you.
Well, that is the music of our five branches of service and a little history. Now we have a very special song that we would like to, or music that we would like Cecile Intriago to introduce. Would you tell us about this, Cecile?
It all began in 1862 during the Civil War when Union Army Captain Robert Ellicombe was with his men near Harrison's Landing in Virginia. The Confederate Army was on the other side of the narrow strip of land. During the night, Captain Ellicombe heard the moan of a soldier who lay mortally wounded on the field. Not knowing if it was a Union or Confederate soldier, the captain decided to risk his life and bring the stricken man back for medical attention. Crawling on his stomach during the gunfire, the captain reached the stricken soldier and began pulling him toward his encampment. When the captain finally reached his own lines, he discovered it was actually a Confederate soldier, but the soldier was dead. The captain lit a lantern. Suddenly, he caught his breath and went numb with shock. In the dim light, he saw the face of the soldier. It was his son. The boy had been studying music in the South when the war broke out. Without telling his father, he enlisted in the Confederate Army. The following morning, heartbroken, the father asked permission of his superiors to give his son a full military burial despite his enemy status. His request was partially granted. The captain had asked if he could have a group of Army band members play a funeral dirge for the son at the funeral. That request was turned down since the soldier was a Confederate. Out of respect for the father, they did say they could give him one musician. The captain chose a bugler. He asked the bugler to play a series of musical notes he had found on a piece of paper in the pocket of his dead son's uniform. This music was the haunting melody we now know as taps that is used at all military funerals. These are the words to taps. Day is done, God gone the sun, from the lakes, from the hills, from the sky. All is well, safely rest, God is nigh.
A few moments ago, I placed a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier, and as I stepped back and stood during the moment of silence that followed, I said a small prayer, and it occurred to me that each of my predecessors has had a similar moment, and I wondered if our prayers weren't very much the same, if not identical. We celebrate Veterans Day on the anniversary of the armistice that ended World War I, the armistice that began on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, And I wonder, in fact, if all Americans' prayers aren't the same as those I mentioned a moment ago. For all we can ever do for our heroes is remember them and remember what they did, and memories are transmitted through words. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. And all we can do is remember. There's always someone who is remembering for us. No matter what time of year it is or what time of day, there are always people who come to this cemetery, leave a flag or a flower or a little rock on a headstone. And they stop and bow their heads and communicate what they wished to communicate. I think sometimes of General Matthew Ridgway, who, the night before D-Day, tossed sleepless on his cot and talked to the Lord and listened for the promise that God made to Joshua, "I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." We are surrounded today by the dead of our wars. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them and what they did and why they had to be brave for us. All we can do is try to see that other young men never have to join them. Today, as never before, we must pledge to remember the things that will continue the peace. Today, as never before, we must pray for God's help in broadening and deepening the peace we enjoy. Let us pray for freedom and justice and a more stable world. And let us make a compact today with the dead. A promise in the words for which General Ridgway listened, "I will not fail thee nor forsake thee."
Show for tonight, and Steve, sorry to cut you out there, but just was wondering if any of our hosts might add your thoughts about today and what it means to you.
Well, that speech by Ronald Reagan just gives me chills, and my only cry is, "Ronnie, where are you when we need you?" Sorry, I had to get that little saying.
Yeah. We do have a caller, area code 561. Donna, is that you?
I don't think so, Neil. I think that's my friend that I told to tune in.
That's
with Eastern. But I do want to say, this is Cecile, I do want to say that let's all remember tonight to say a special prayer for those that fought for us and died to give us our freedom. Mm. And I second that on what Ronald Reagan's speech. Amen to that. And Neil, you did a fantastic job with tonight's show.
Well, thank you.
You did.
We have a caller on area code 770. Would you like to make a comment? Area code 770.
Yeah, Neil, this is Sonny Smithwick. I really appreciate your show tonight. It was very good. You know, I've been somewhat privileged to be involved in these honor flights that take the World War II veterans up to Washington, and I tell you, that's a very emotional thing. They've just about cut it out now because of the age of what few remaining World War II veterans they are. Mm-hmm. But that honor flight was a great program to just acknowledge the World War II veterans. Anyway, good show.
Thanks for your thoughts, Sonny. Good to have you with us tonight. Anyone else? Let's see, who else do we have on here? George and Chuck, you still with us?
Chuck's here. Actually, I'd like to give a shout-out to all the businesses today, especially the restaurants that honor those who served. I happen to be one of them tonight that I went to a restaurant, and they gave me a free meal.
I thought that was
exceedingly nice of them.
Yeah. George, how about a thought?
Well, you know, it's kind of a sobering time for everyone. The one thought that came to my mind is that many of the people I flew with at Eastern were veterans of both World War II and also Korea, many World War II veterans. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, today, you know, there aren't too many left. And it's sad because I'm sure that they could teach us all a lesson or two as we go forward here.
Yeah. Well, my thought is I would like to, first of all, read what Doc Hastings, who is a U.S. congressman from the state of Washington, made a remark that I found very appropriate. He said, 137 years later, Memorial Day remains one of America's most cherished patriotic observances. The spirit of this day has not changed. It remains a day to honor those who died defending our freedom and democracy. And I might add, and those that are living and who have served and are serving. You see them waiting in lines at Panera Bread, McDonald's, grocery stores, sports events, fueling their cars at gas stations and other popular places. They are from many cultures and ethnic backgrounds, races, genders, religions, familial status, but one thing stands out. They wear the symbol of protector and defender of our liberty and freedom, a uniform of America's armed forces. The opportunity to say thank you is presented nearly every day as we go through our walk through life. Why not take the time, the courtesy, the consideration for all they do, and just say thank you? It's not that difficult considering what they do for us every day in service to our country. But once you do it once or twice, you'll see how easy it is to say a few kind words of appreciation. They feel good that others care, and you'll feel even better because you really do care. That's my thoughts. And that's our show on Veterans Day, November the 11th, 2013. Thank you all for participating. Steve, would you close us out?
Yes. This has been a most delightful program to present to our listeners tonight, and I hear the champagne music in the background. So it must be time to say goodnight. We hope that you have enjoyed tonight's program and you'll tell your friends about us, especially other members of the Eastern family. Now, be sure and tune in next week when the radio voice of Eastern Airlines brings you another exciting show. And we hope you have a very successful week and whatever you undertake to do. And remember, keep the blue side up. Keep plenty of airspeed, plenty of altitude. And from all of us, good night, Eastern family.
Good night,
Eastern
family.
Good night.